Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, home. The word itself evokes feelings of love and laughter, security and serenity, warmth and welcome. It means mom and dad, fun and games, really good food, and deep, deep sleep. Home. Home, home on the range. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. And Dorothy, who repeated, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Home. Isaiah wrote about home. He wrote in the 8th century BC, and he speaks to the Israelites living in Babylon in the 6th century BC. He speaks to the Israelites who are exiles far, far away from home. He speaks to exiles in that monstrous reality called Babylon. In 587 BC, the Babylonians decided once and for all to destroy that rebellious city and to destroy that southern kingdom, Judah. Gathered by the waters of Babylon, the exiles wistfully wonder, is our God for real? Does he really care about us? Can you relate? They wondered, just how can we believe in a God who has lost the war? Why not worship the Babylonian gods? After all, their armies are much stronger than ours. Lord, will you be angry with us forever? The exiles are stuck in a land filled with canals and ziggurats, a land with the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, and with the Ishtar Gate and that detestable statue of Marduk. Judah and Jerusalem and the Jordan, they have been replaced by the building projects of Nebuchadnezzar and his son, Nebuchadnezzar. For Israel, there was no king, no temple, no royal land, no royal city, no liturgy, no sacrifice, no hope, no future, and no song. How can they sing God's songs while in a foreign land? So by the rivers of Babylon, they sit and weep, reminiscing about the good old days when they worshipped in the splendor of Solomon's temple, when they worked and shopped in the city of David, when they saw the Mount of Olives just off in the distance. Oh God, there is no place like home. There is no place like home. There's no place like home. Israelites in exile are not only far away from home, more pressing, they are far away from the Father. As the Lord's firstborn son, Israel had demanded his fair share of the inheritance and set off for a distant country and squandered it all on wild living. Oh, the world that was around them, enticing Baal worship, the seductive Assyrian astral deities, the perverting of justice and righteousness, heartless worship and gutless faith. And then, August 19, 587 BC, the collapse of Jerusalem. The day the music died. Bye, bye, O promised land pie. Some of us are far away from home. Left to our own, all of us are far away from the Father. It's just the way we operate. We are right here, right now, exiled in a Babylon of our own making. You and I, we have demanded our fair share of the inheritance, and we have set off for distant lights, seductive lights, deadly lights. We've sold our baptismal inheritance, and we've ended up with dishonest lives, with empty relationships and inflated egos, and so we have no song to sing. In our exile, God speaks to us. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All exiles, those in Babylon BC and those in Babylon today, are invited to join in the hymn of all creation. Just when the music had died and Israel's history seemed closed by Babylonian imperial policy, to the shock and to the surprise of everyone, the Lord raised up a Messiah, Cyrus. The northern kingdom scattered into exile by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom assimilated in exile by the Babylonians. And the Israelites saved by the Persian sea, Cyrus. Cyrus was the savior for the day. Christ is our savior for life. Christ is the savior wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And guaranteeing this deliverance is the power and the faithfulness of God's word. These promises will not return empty. God said it. That settles it. Faith believes it. In Bethlehem, this faithful word took on human flesh and blood, and he had a heart. And he lived exiled from the Father's house for some 33 years. Jesus was exiled not only from the Father's home, but finally from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? His lips are cracked and his mouth is parched. His throat so dry he cannot swallow. His voice so hoarse he can barely speak a word. To find the last time that moisture had touched these lips, we need to go back a dozen hours to the meal in the upper room. Since tasting the cup of the New Testament, Jesus has been spit upon, bruised, and beaten. He has been a cross carrier and a sin bearer. No liquid has quenched his thirst. He has no song to sing. So that day, the music died. Yet raised on the third day, the song, no better yet, the symphony rocks on. It's not dead. Our God is alive. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, well, I've told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this is no dorm room or army barracks. This isn't Tom Baudet from Motel 6 leaving the light on. And this isn't even the Grand Floridian concierge at Walt Disney World or the Ritz in Paris. It is infinitely better. The robe and the sandals are ready. And so is the ring. The price is paid, the party prepared, the sacrifice complete, and the Father has rehearsed his lines. The son of mine was dead and is alive again. And so to let us sing with the mountains and the hills and with the trees. Let us clap our hands. Let us join in the hymn of all creation. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Because Jesus' dying love means exactly this. We are going home. And there is no place like home. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.